Yeah, one right. And the beginning of the visit with Helen, this cook, this Tuesday, the 3rd of September, 74th. But first is a mockingbird. Helen Cook, this Tuesday after Labor Day, the 3rd of September, 74, all by herself in the kitchen. First the mockingbird, and then the visit with Helen Cook, this Tuesday, the 3rd of September after Labor Day, the September the 1974.
there's very few that have even the day visit or something, you know.
They don't really seem to miss it. I wish they could go home.
I guess they go home enough to really, and some of them have been out there since just a few months old.
So they just don't really know.
They don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Where others, that go more often, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I
just
guess.
Just let me know when you start on West Virginia.
They might do better at home or something, or they couldn't keep them.
Mm-hmm.
This one boy I mentioned, Robert Franny, and now this lady that I work with, I talked with her yesterday, and she said he has really been showing himself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether he was supposed to go home and didn't get to go, or either he went home and they brought him back, and he's been,
mm-hmm.
and something happened, I forget now just what she said, but it was something that caused him to really,
mm-hmm.
and he's really been something.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice not to have to think about that.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't.
I think that's smart.
Until I called her yesterday.
Yeah.
I had.
Just keep it out of your mind.
Yeah.
And
you
then you go back fresh and.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And start fighting.
Yeah.
No, I started to tell you, Grandma and Grandpa have bought, I believe it, six or eight acres. Something like that. Over.
Did you know that?
What's
that? Leo's mom and dad have finally bought some land over next to Larry. I believe the girls said they understood Grandpa to say 8 acres, but it adjoins Larry's.
Yeah. Adjoins.
It joins his land, and it has an old building on it. There used to be an old house, maybe, but that's all. They might make it into a barn or a storage for hay or something like that.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's all it has. I'm not sure even whether Grandma said he had a well or not. I'm not sure. Grandpa says it has to. He has to do some grading and leveling it off, you know, and everything. But she wants a trailer.
She's the one who wants.
She would like a trailer, and he wants to get some timber cut to use, you know, to build a porches and things like that. He knows that they'll need. And she's real anxious to get moved, and he's, you know, he's slow. And, oh, I don't want to be around. I just said, thank you. I'm glad I'm the distance that I am, because he won't be able to use their furniture. And she wants to sell everything.
Well, they got a trailer. They'll have about all the furniture.
Yeah, unless they get just maybe the living room, maybe the kitchen furnished. If they want to use their own front, you know, you can do that. But, oh my goodness, to gather up all that stuff, having moved and lived there over 50 years, lived there 50 years. 50?
Sure.
That's the only house I've ever lived in.
Yes.
The only place I've ever lived.
Yeah. And they
and
built
he lived there
that.
Before that.
Oh, yes.
Grandpa Cook
has been there for so many years. He doesn't know how. And I can imagine. Now, she wants to move. And I can just imagine how hard it's going to be for him to give up all that, you know.
Yeah.
And to sell. But he says he will. And he's trying to find, you know, this couple that want it so much. They want it. But they're afraid they can't get a farm loan or whatever the kind of loan for the full amount. So what they're wanting to do, they want Grandpa to take their place for $15,000, and maybe they can borrow the rest to get a loan, you know, for the rest. But if he wants to get rid of one, he doesn't want another. So I told him, I said, he wants him just to hold it until he can get it sold. I said, yeah. If you hold it, you'll just keep it.
Yeah.
Until you can sell it, because he'll forget about it.
Yeah.
I tried to talk to him about it, and I said, now that just wouldn't work at all with me.
Yeah.
So he says it won't work with him either. He just might, if they can't see their way some other way, he'll just try to find, you know, put it up for sale, you know, advertise it a little more. But they were going to let them have it if they could get the loan through. So I told Grandpa, I said, what do you think, you'll make it before the snow flies? He says, I just don't know. And Grandma bows her head every time I say anything, you know. She wants to get moved. although she knows it's a problem and all. But they haven't gone through that cellar house in years. Years. They don't even know what's up there. And they have stuff stowed away upstairs, you know, back in the closets, back so far in the corners.
Well, they've got big closets up there.
Oh, big closets. And they don't even know what's in them. I know they don't. I know they haven't looked in there, you know, through everything.
God, they never saw such big closets.
And if the barn is loaded, the barns just have everything.
Oh, they are.
Yes, they have everything, and you know, farm equipment, and there's a lot of equipment and stuff in the barn. And I know there's one wide board of Leo's that I don't want them moving. And it's under the hay, and it's been there for years and years, but it's his.
Yeah.
And it's one wide, good wide board that will make furniture.
Oh.
You can use it for. That's what it is, and it's well seasoned because it's been there for years. And. I don't want him to forget that. But and he wants Leo to auction off, to have an auction.
Well?
To auction off their farm equipment and things.
Mm-hmm.
And all the little odds and ends and doodads and antiques and relics. And Grandma wants to add this in and that in and something else in there. Oh, I don't want to be around. I told her I'm so glad the distance was Florida. That was too many miles from me. Yeah, I told her. I said it's too many miles that I could cover in a short length of time, so good. No, I don't feel like I'd be the one to want to say, you know, you do this or you do that and you do and I'm afraid I'd tell her if I was around. So it's just better that I'd be away from all that.
Yeah.
But honestly.
Yeah. Why, you know you would be putting
school
in.
Books. She asked them, and I would like to have them, but I couldn't find them. They moved them where they are. I found them one time. It was his sister's, Aunt Maisel's. One of them was a geography book.
Oh.
That she had back years and years and years ago. And Grandpa used it.
Yeah.
Grandpa used it.
And, and it used to be in an old trunk, and I couldn't find the trunk. So they've moved things a little bit. I went up there especially to look, and I couldn't find it. That was one thing I wanted.
Yeah.
But things, there's some furniture that was his mother's.
His mother?
His mother's. It's the high back, and the arms come all the way around the same height. You know, I don't know what it's called. I can't think of. It's a settee. More like a love seat. Anyway, that and two pieces, a rocking chair and a straight chair. I don't even know where they are. They aren't there. I think they're up Ashley's, Alberta's husband. She and her husband bought this farm next to them, and his mother and dad live there, but I believe it's up in their attic.
Oh.
But it was stored there. But it was Grandpa Cook's mother's. And everybody wants it.
Oh.
So I said, there's no need me to open my mouth. But I would like to have it. But I wouldn't ask for it. She's got several pieces that I'd like to have. But I wouldn't ask her. Because there's 10 children.
Yeah.
And everybody wants everything. And I just said, shoot, I just keep my mouth shut. And glad I'm far away.
Yeah.
But I don't see how in this world. I told her, I said, I don't see how in the world you could hope to get moved before snow. They're
no.
gonna the way they you know. Grandpa's 9 and 10 o'clock milking for morning now. And it used to be, you know, you're up early and things were done early. They don't get up.
You know what he said once while I was up there? He says, you know, you don't want me to go milk before you feed me.
And he doesn't either. No, sir. And if they're supposed to be at church at a certain time, he'll milk, and they're probably late. But he just can't get in a rush.
Uh-huh.
And she just keeps him in a tizzy all the time. Every chance to get, he wants to talk, you know. And what's he going to do? She wants it done this way, and she wants that done, and she wants something else done, and he just doesn't know what to do.
He just rather talk.
I don't know, but I don't want to be around. That I don't want.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, they bought this land, and she wants a trailer. And, well, some of the children have already looked at one. They picked one out. They want her to come and see it, and so she's anxious to go, and he's not in a hurry. She wants to see it, and he doesn't particularly get in a hurry about seeing it.
Yeah.
And so some of the boys said something about the cattle. They might want the cow, you know, part of them. Lewis wants a milk cow, and oh, I never saw this.
Well, he'll take Imogene.
I just don't know. He's just milking her now because he doesn't know what else to do. He doesn't really.
What do you want, Ellen?
Nothing.
In it.
And there's times that she doesn't care what she fixes a churn or more. And I don't believe, if I had been up there to help her, I don't believe she'd have canned all the things that was canned.
Oh, you canned with her.
Oh, yeah, she'd gotten to play. Grandpa said she'd just gotten to play. She just wasn't going to can. And so I just went down the garden and picked a can of the beans. And we fixed. So she helped me then. We canned the beans, and I started gathering on tomatoes. She came down then to help me.
Uh-huh.
And we gathered tomatoes, and we canned. I peeled them. I didn't say anything. I just went out and made some pans and things and water and everything fixed, and we started. You know, we peeled it out. She came out then. We peeled the tomatoes and canned them. And I went back on the hill the first time by myself, all the way to the top of the hill.
Oh, really?
Two apple trees back there.
I never got up on that hill, and I'm ashamed.
Oh, you ought to be glad. I walked for miles, seemed like. Straight up.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that is straight up.
Oh, it is straight up.
Yeah.
I went the first time by myself. Grandpa just had a bug. He said, you shouldn't go back there by yourself. I even helped with a newborn calf, I want you to know. The second trip back on the hill.
All
right. Grandma said, Harriet Ann was with me, and she couldn't find the apple trees. But Grandpa had told me where they were. I knew where to look. But he said, now don't you go back there unless you take someone with you. For the first time, I found it by myself. I went by myself. So the second time, Harriet Ann wanted to go with me. And we had gone up on the right to the line fence, the right of the pond. Did you get back as far as the pond?
No.
Oh, you should see those beautiful pine trees.
Well, that's what I know.
Oh, they
missed
were just
them
lovely.
Pine trees.
He put newborn, they were just little pine trees when they built the pond, so the hill wouldn't wash in. And they are beautiful. They look like blue, they look bluish. I don't know if it's because they're in the shade or... But they're, I don't know what kind they are. They're just pine trees. But they are so pretty. Anyway, we went up on the right of the pond, going up, and all the way to the top of the hill, we walked around, and I found the first apple tree, and then we went over to the second one, and we got across on the other man's land. I don't know who owns that. Across the, and found some baby dogwood trees, little dogwood trees. And someone has been surveying back there. There's blue... tape, I mean, you know, stuff, what they use, on two different trees, now just across the fence, and then down the hill, there's another one with blue ribbon on it. So someone's been doing some. And on the way on down the creek, I found some more of the same color blue, so I said the same person, because, or, you know, they had been surveying, but I don't know what for. But anyway, we came down the other line fence, and here was this newborn calf. And hadn't never eaten yet. And I counted the cattle, it was 12. And the newborn calf made 13. And it was born right on the hillside. Right at the top, right where it was slanted down the hill. And hadn't gotten up yet. And every time it started to get up, slid down the hill a little farther. And the big old cow, that big old cow, and I didn't know what she'd do to me. But I tried to hold it back, and it got in a pile of leaves. You know where the leaves long, and it slid for I don't know how far.
You mean the hill is that steep?
It was. Oh yeah, it was sliding down the hill, and it was in red clay mud, the hill, you know, and damp, and I didn't have a foothold anyway. And I got lodged against a tree, and I told Harriet Ann to go to the house. Grandpa had gone to the store with the rest of the girls, but Harriet Ann. I said, Harriet Ann, I'll stay here and try to hold it against this tree. and you go and see if they're back yet. And if they are, tell Grandpa he better come and help me. I'm stuck. And I don't know if they ever long before anyone came. The girls, Alice and Becky, finally came first. I said, well, is Grandpa coming? Yes, he'll be along. And I hit hell just about as long as I could, and he just kept sliding and kept sliding and kept sliding.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't pick it up and carry it back to the top of the hill. I did well get myself back to the top of the hill. And I held that calf until he finished talking to Grandma.
He just had to talk a little bit.
Yeah, he had to tell her something. He'd seen someone. And get up there, and he ended up carrying it. He had to pick it up himself and get to the top of the hill with it.
Awesome.
It still hadn't eaten yet. So I got part of the way down the hill, and he called me to find the rope, and he told me where to find it. Take the old rope off the new rope and send the new rope back up there. He had to tie the cow up. Back on top of the hill now to get the baby calf to eat. So he was up there for an hour or so before he finally made it on. But, I don't know.
Isn't that something?
Oh, I
knew that. Now you see, Helen, that's the sort of thing that happens out there, but it won't happen on that 5 acres down there next to Larry.
You know what I told him before we left? Just before we left. Grandma had said something, mentioned it to him, you know. I said, Grandpa, I said, just one thing I want to tell you. When you get your trailer and you get moved, I said, you be sure you cut enough grass to build you a haystack right in the front yard. So when you get homesick for Granny's Creek, you can go out and feed Larry's cattle with your hay. And he kind of looked at me sideways and grinned. He said, you think I'll need it? I said, I expect you will. And I said, you might have a fodder shop or two just to look at and to think about, you know, because he's going to miss all that. Bales of hay, he and the girls, Alice and Becky, Harriet Ann and going down to Alberta's, Alice and Becky baled them and put up hay below the house and above the house. He had the girls. He let Alice drive the tractor and he let Becky drive the tractor.
Oh, really?
Yes. In the bottom land. Uh-huh. And that's something he'd never done before.
Yeah.
But they helped him.
Well, they can
and
do
they,
it. Both of them just
and they
as
got
strong
the,
as
uh-huh. And that owl's carried that hay. And that bale's of hay, too, up there. They're heavy.
Oh, yeah.
She carried them and put them on there until the last load. He let her drive the tractor, and he put them on. He said he knew she was tired. But they baled them. They put up two bottoms of hay.
Oh, my God.
And
well,
just the two up, just the two of the girls helped him.
Well, that's the best help you can have.
And,
you know, I talked with him about that
mm-hmm.
when I was up there. You know, in making hay, you don't need any help but about two or three hours
mm-hmm.
when you've taken it up.
Mm-hmm.
One man has to cut it. One man has to rake it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to pulling in, you've
the
got
bale on the,
to
lift the hay. Uh-huh. Well, they went behind the baler all the way, walked, you know, and that old... They had old shoes on because of the mud. If you step in the mud, you use red clay. And but they helped him get the hay in. And Grandma, Grandma didn't think he needed any more hay. She wondered just why didn't he just turn the cattle in, you know? Well, he said they might need it, so he'd go ahead and bail it. That's the way she was about the canning. She decided she wasn't going to can. She just didn't worry about whether they had anything or whether they didn't. She'd gotten to that point.
See, it's an odd thing. All that hay down there in the bottom, in the prairie,
they call it the bottom meadow.
They never turn the cattle in. Well, they can't. They don't have a fence over there against the road.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
They don't fence off there. Well, now they do in the upper one, above the house, but below the house they don't.
Yeah.
Below the house they don't.
So they have to make hay out of
there. They make hay. Mm-hmm. Now they can turn them into the upper pasture, you know, meadow.
But
they
can't
below
the
house.
Put another little cross, across the bottom.
Uh huh. They used to have it fenced.
Huh?
They used to have it
did
fenced,
they?
But they've
oh,
gotten
to
they just didn't fix
well,
the fence.
Well, they're not much, not near as much below. It is
above. No.
So.
But you know, it's such an odd thing, and I asked Grandpa about it. And, well, Grandma and I were talking about why all the springs have dried up. There used to be so many springs, and they're dry.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of rain.
You know, I kept wanting to go. You were talking about they didn't know what was in all those places. I kept wanting to go in the well house, pump house, what they call it.
Cellar house.
Cellar house.
You mean the house above the
yeah.
Did you get in the cellar?
I didn't get in anything.
Oh, you weren't in the cellar.
Well, we looked at the pumps that Leo had put in.
Oh, yeah, the pumps. But I meant in the cellar where all the canned stuff
then
is.
Then there's some canned goods. I just,
it's cool in there. They built that back in a hill.
Yes.
It's
dug out of the hill. And then they built this.
But just like the house, except it's a little above it.
And then they built the house, built this, what we call the cellar house, on top of it.
And upstairs, at least where the floor is, that was a dormitory where the boys.
Oh, yes.
Is that right?
Leo used to sleep there, and he said the snow would fly through the cracks. Only be on his bed in the morning.
Yeah.
But he'd have so much cover on, you never feel it.
Yeah.
Feather pits.
I kept wanting to go in there. I knew they had everything.
Oh, you could. I don't know if you get in there or not. I like to never got in and out. I went up there to hunt some cans. They rendered lard. They killed that big old hog he had.
Oh, did they?
They took it to the butcher. And they brought back two. Half of it was Steve for Lewis. So she just rendered up half, put the other half in the freezer. Big old plastic bags about this big around and about that high with ground up the fat to be rendered, you know. So we rendered the lard and we went up there to find some coffee cans, you know, that she'd saved back and everything. Boy, I rummaged through there. I finally found them. We had to dig through. You just can't imagine all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right here. I told her then, I said, Grandma, how in the world do you expect to move for next year?
Yeah.
And she says, why? What do you mean? I said, this stuff, and you haven't even looked at it in years. And everybody, Hugh and Olita, she's the oldest one. Her husband works on TVs. He took the home course, you know, and he does a lot of TV work. I bet there's 6 or 8 TVs up there.
Don't tell me.
That he stored up there. She says, all I know is to just tell each one to come in and get his own. There's baby beds. There's little chairs that the babies used when they were little. There's baby mattresses, baby beds. There's high chairs. Every time someone gets the babies grow out of them, they bring them up there and store them in the cellar. That place is running over with stuff.
Just a storage place for the family.
And I don't know the number of TVs that I counted, and I didn't see them all. I didn't see all of them, because they were covered up with this and that and something else, you know. But she said it was. She said all she knew to do is just have Olita and Hugh come and get the TVs.
Yeah.
I said, what was he going to do with that many?
My God.
I don't know. I don't know why he accumulated so many. And
she really, you know, when you. I guess she just doesn't want to think about it. She just wants to. She's through with all this, and she just wants.
She wants to go.
She wants to go.
She just wants to go.
She's just done enough cooking and.
So we cook one meal and we'd have sandwiches one meal.
Yeah.
And Grandpa agreed to it. He said, "Now that's fine with me." He says, "We'll have sandwiches." I said, "Well, I told Grandma then. I said, "Well, the days that they work in the hay, and they work." They'll need more than a sandwich. So I said, they can have a sandwich at lunch, and then we'll fix a big meal in the evening. And they never think to fix meat.
They never think to fix meat.
They aren't meat eaters. And I had to remind her to take meat out of the freezer. She'd forget it. She just didn't think about it. Because and I know Grandpa even said that. He said, for all the meat, if we didn't keep meat for the children when they come home, he said we wouldn't need to kill a hog or a cow or anything. Bacon is about all day. All he thinks about, you know.
Oh, he likes a little bacon.
He likes his bacon, but as far as any other meal, they don't. They'll eat a peanut butter and tomato sandwich. Or something like that. And he never thinks about, you know. And I have to remind her to take the meat out. So it would be fun for supper.
Yeah.
You know. But they'd eat sandwiches. And and then they worked hard, you know, in the hay or something, that I said, well, we'll just cook in the evening then. And we always fixed hot bread then. And,
oh, guys, what'd you say about the cornbread, guy?
Yeah.
Cornbread.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't make much cornbread. The girls aren't cornbread eaters. Oh, well, we bake some cornbread, but, I mean, not as much as biscuits. She likes her... The girls like biscuits. Biscuits with molasses and honey and things like that.
I just... Joking, we, I went off with Leo... I thought I had tied Grandpa Cook down long enough. He needed a little breather. And so we went out trading. That's when he bought two or three of those sets of harness.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd he go? Cecil?
Carper.
K-A-R-P-E-R?
C-A-R-P-E-R, I believe.
Well?
It's down on the left hand, but don't ask me where. I don't know.
Down on the left hand.
Down on the left hand, that's what Grandma said.
Now, Cecil's his cousin.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well.
Maybe it's a kissing cousin. I don't know. I don't know all the relatives.
Yeah.
They're kin to everyone down in there, and I don't know who all they are.
Oh, I see.
No, it probably is. I know they were having another sale, and he missed it.
Well, and that night, they needed to go to the Farm Bureau, to the co-op meeting,
mm-hmm.
the election of officers. So, I just said, just in passing, I said, she said, well, now, what would you all like for supper? Well, I said, as far as I'm concerned, I can just eat a little cornbread and buttermilk. Well, she didn't have cornbread. She had plenty of biscuit and other things.
Yeah.
And you know, we sat there and ate that stuff. We just ate cornbread and let the stuff go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people's recipes are so good sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she makes good cornbread. I tell you, the buttermilk's the main thing. To have good buttermilk.
Yeah. Now, Grandpa Cook loves that buttermilk.
Mm-hmm, I do too.
And he just fills it with cornbread, and
uh-huh.
after he eats, he goes ahead and eats again.
He eats again, cornbread and buttermilk.
Now they make the buttermilk.
Uh huh. They had their own milk. Uh-huh. And she had to churn two or three times because I drank buttermilk too.
Yeah.
Grandpa drank buttermilk. Now she'll drink sweet milk. She takes her cornbread and sweet milk. But I like it with buttermilk. And she never, and if I was going to eat the sweet milk, I'd want sugar in it.
Hmm.
But she doesn't. No. And oatmeal every morning.
Now, that oatmeal, she cooks better oatmeal than I do, and I pay some attention to it, and I think she just puts it on and cooks it.
She puts it on in cold water. And cooks it when she first puts it on the stove. And she uses old-fashioned oats.
Then you have to stir it.
Oh, yeah, every once in a while. She stirs it and goes on about something else.
Every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But she cooks regular oats and she stirs it.
The old fashioned, you know.
Is it old fashioned?
Uh huh.
Well, it didn't taste like it.
Well, it is. That's what Grandpa eats. She's always bought the old fashioned oatmeal.
Old fashioned.
Uh huh.
So what it does, it stays on the fire longer.
Uh huh. And she starts it in cold water and when she puts her water on, she puts her oats in. Right then. I know my girls tell me I can't cook it either.
Well,
that's
you
the
know
way she, that's the way she cooks.
She put it in one of the flat...
just a little cooker.
A little soup bowl out there, and just fill the bottom of it. And what we did, we went ahead and ate breakfast, and then I put just a tiny bit of sugar on it, no milk or anything, because the oats tasted so good.
Well, now, Grandpa doesn't put milk on his either. She will hers, but he doesn't.
Well, guy, maybe you ought to try it like that. It seems to me
well,
that it's altogether different taste.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It must be that the instant minute oats won't taste like...
You just don't get the flavor that you get from the old-fashioned
oats.
Well,
now, that's what this has.
Uh-huh. And she cooks it.
First thing he said when he came back, he said oats just didn't taste like milk.
Uh-uh. No. And by putting it on in cold water, you know, gets all the full flavor. You know, I mean, you cook it from the very beginning, from the time the water goes in, you know. And it does taste different. Of course, I don't eat oatmeal myself, but the girls talked about it. They always talk about Grandma's oats.
Let me tell you, Helen, they had, now this was one of the cutest things I ever saw. Now, I think Grandpa Cook is the one that brought it up. You know where he sits there with a telephone bag of it?
Oh, yeah.
And he reached up there, and he got a something. As I remember, it was a clock. I'm not sure. With a little pennant on it that said 50th.
Uh-huh.
But I can't recollect for sure what it is. And it was cute. It was nice, you see, the 50th anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And he saw I was interested in it.
Well, she has so many of 50s on it.
So she
right
just
now.
Reached over there in her china closet, what do you call that place where you
yeah,
used to put
it's one
it?
Of the old-fashioned cupboards.
China?
It's an old china cupboard, china cabinet.
China cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And Faye, they've taken out all the plates that they used to use.
Uh-huh.
And everything in there is from the 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I just can't remember what it is. But
oh, there's vases, salt and pepper sugars, and sugar bowl and cream pitchers, and all kinds of dishes, and it's just full of everything.
The only thing is they don't use them. It's
yeah.
just a museum now.
Uh-huh. Oh, once in a while she pulled out the salt and pepper shakers. Or something like that, but she puts it right back.
Does it have 50th anniversary
uh-huh.
on it?
Everything
and everything goes back in its right place.
Oh.
You put everything back where you find it. You know, that's the way she keeps things. And if you put them back where you know, she'll be able to find it the next time.
Yeah.
Guy said he said they'd have a hard time, she'd have a hard time here because she just keeps such a clean place.
Uh-huh.
He'd never seen anything like
that. Just has her way about doing things, and Grandpa fusses because she doesn't take her rest. You know, she doesn't rest like she should. She says, "I have things to do."
Yeah.
And when she washes, it's not like we just go stick a load of clothes in the washer, and when they get done, you know, we stick another one in. She saves her wash water because their pump goes into their sink, you know, that goes out, and she stops that up and dips it. She has tubs back here. She dips all that wash water back over into the tub, and then when she gets ready to wash another load, she dips it back into the washer. And then when she starts the washer, she starts it on wash, not to fill up. Mm-hmm. She saves it. And she'll save her rinse water, too, if it isn't too dirty. And then it'll rinse once. Sometimes she'll rinse, or sometimes she'll use it to help finish filling the wash part, you know. But she does it every time. Just as much work, you know how it used to be. You washed and you save your water with just a regular washer, you know. And she's the same way with an automatic. The same way. She just saves, just as saving with her water as can be.
And there she got them two pumps.
Mm-hmm. But she's saving with it, just the same. And you just might as well say, Grandma, stay on out there and wash it because she's going to wash it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go ahead with something else. Because she'll forget it if she goes off to do something else. And she'll clean up the back porch, or she'll clean up the pantry, or something where she can keep an eye
while she's washing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's the way she does it.
That's what I do when I out of sight, I forget.
Mm-hmm. She said she'd forget it if she didn't. And she'd always ask me to be sure to remind me. Now, whenever we can about 4 cans or 5 of beans, and they had to cook 3.5 hours. And she'd always remind me remind her when 3.5 hours were up.
Yeah.
So she'd remember to go turn it off, you know. So she said, I'll forget.
Well, that's a pretty big house for her to keep by herself.
It is.
Well, Lord, Faye.
The girls, well, they're not there too much. But now Alberta took her laundry down. Was going to take her laundry down and do it. Her bed clothes and things, because after we left, Andra and her family were coming, and I talked to Grandpa since we've come home, and he said that Doris and Larry and their children were there, and Lawrence and Nina and his family were there, and
she has to cook for all of them.
Yeah. Now they'll help, you know, as they come in, but as she expects anyone to come in, I know we went to Sunday school. And she so she thought she'd stay home. We had talked about going over to the picnic for the retired teachers and board of education, the workers, you know, and all. And she said, now someone might come. She'd stay home and we'd have sandwiches. And I got home and she had a pot of beans on. And she had meat cooked and potatoes. And she had a regular meal. And just as we drove in, Opal and Ray drove in behind us. And we didn't go. And Lewis and his family came over after dinner. But they were there to eat and she had it all on the table, hot biscuits and all. She had her mind made up to that before we left and just didn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
She just wouldn't say anything. She won't tell anything. She's that much like her grandma, like her mother. Grandma Griffith was that way.
Oh,
was she? Oh, and I will forget. She took Laura. And Laura was just a little thing. She was walking, but she was little. Took her down the garden and she peeled a cucumber, so help me, it was that long. I never will forget that. I scared to death to make Laura sick. And she salted it and she peppered it and Laura ate it with her. They sat down and ate that big old cucumber. I was so afraid she'd be sick, but she wasn't. And Grandma's getting more that way. She takes more time with the children now than she ever did. She'll just let everything go and see what they want and do what they want, you know. She's getting away from a lot of it, if you know. But she'll still go ahead and do her work with Grandpa fussing at her. You tell her to not to do, and he tries to help her. And she told me, she says, you know, she says, I could do it a whole lot easier myself, but I won't say anything to him. Said he just gets in my way. He tries to help her. That's something he never did do either.
Well, now, when we were leaving, Leo and I were leaving, what was that afternoon? We left next morning. She went out there to, she said something was all finished, the potatoes were all finished, and they had some more coming in. And she was just going to dig them and send them with Leo and two or three other things. She started down there, and he went down there and done the work for her, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he went down, that was one thing he did. He went down to pick the beans, and he decided they were on the ground, and he brought some back that weren't filled. But he said they were on the ground, they had started to rot. But she didn't like that very well. She thought they should be, you know, so she decided the next beans she came, she'd pick them herself. And she caught him away from the house doing something, and I found her down in the bean beds. And I pick beans like she does. And she said, while no one around, I'd get my own beans canned. She said, I want them full if I'm going to can beans. And I know that was the reason. But he said they had started to rot, you know, so he went ahead and picked them. But he wasn't paying any attention. He just picked them by the bunches, you know, and get little ones in all sizes.
Is that right?
And she said, now what am I going to do with these? I said, can them.
Sure.
I said, they'll fill a jar. But she never canned beans like that. And she thought that just looked terrible. I said, now, Grandma, you can put them in soup and no one will ever know the difference if you don't want to serve them, you know, plain beans like that. I said, just add them into soup or something. And I said, they'll be, and more anyone know the difference.
Now, Leo said that come the weekend, all the children would come in and visit. And then they'd go home and all week there wouldn't be anybody there.
Uh-huh. That's the way it is.
They had to go home work.
They're gone all, you know, they just come in on Sunday. She'll just work and work and work and work and work, get enough cooked, and then they're gone. And that's it till the next.
Yeah.
And it's seldom. I know Becky said, Grandpa, says, are you on the outs with everyone? Said, everyone goes on down the creek and no one comes in. We watch the cars walk the hill, you know. Every time we'd hear a car, we'd see where it goes. Becky says, no, that one didn't turn in. He went on down the creek.
Yeah.
She just didn't understand why no one came to visit. But they don't. Everyone's busy. You know, farm people live. They have their... And I have never seen, and I didn't realize it. Leo hadn't said anything. Of course, they didn't say too much about it when he was up there. The shortage of lids, caps, you know, to can with.
Oh, really?
Boy, you're lucky if you can find any.
Goodness, I didn't know that.
And they pass them around from one to the other one to keep everyone in caps.
Oh, really?
Alberta's son works at Kroger's, one of the big markets. And the time they sell to employees that sell them, they haven't any put out to sell.
Oh, really?
So she gets a few that way. Or if some come in and she'll go down there, Perry will tell her, Mama, they have a few caps in, and they're right back there, and she'll tell him where to go. I mean, he'll tell her, you know, and she'll go right then.
Yeah.
And she says there'll be very, very few left. Everyone is canning.
Yeah.
Everyone. It's such a demand that, but they aren't as good as you used to be. Some of them don't seal like they should. But I guess they're in such a demand, they're in such a hurry to make them, they don't have to, you know, they don't use as good a quality as they used to. But I just didn't realize that.
Grandma Cook is really canned in her day.
Oh, yes. I was surprised. She said this year they didn't pick any berries and she didn't worry about it. Now, it used to be she would never can under 100 quarts of berries.
100 quarts.
It had to be 100 quarts of berries. Always. When the children were...
Blackberries?
Blackberries. Wow. And you climbed the hills to pick them. Now, when we lived on the farm up there next... The farm up in the holler, you weren't up there either. Where we used to live, I always canned at least 100 quarts.
Oh, that's where you all hail for us, up the holler.
Yeah, that house up in the holler.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's up around the bottom, you know.
Yeah.
You're going, uh-huh. We always canned at least 100.
Oh, that's
I tried to get at least 100 quarts of berries. But Grandma, at that time, Grandma was always 200. She was always 100 ahead of me.
Yeah.
And now she had to have that many.
Yeah.
Because I'd help her pick them to make sure that she did get enough. Because when all the children were home, you know, when all the children were home, they were used to hot jam and hot biscuits for breakfast.
I
said
my good stuff. So mm-hmm. If I make you nervous, you just...
No, that's all right.
He is
move around. But they did. They canned apples that way.
Oh, Helen, those good little apples that you all brought back.
Now, this time, the apples that Frost got most of them this year, I found those two trees back on the hill.
And you fried them.
Uh-huh. But these now, they were going to let grow, and he's going to pick them.
Oh.
And before, he'd always picked them in the new of the moon.
In the new of the moon.
And they'd rot.
Uh-huh.
So I found on the calendar where it said to pick them in the old of the moon.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, Grandpa, I had something I want you to read. And I got the calendar, and I told him, I said, now you read this before you. And any crop that you gather in the old of the moon, and if there's a bruise, it will dry up.
But any crop?
Uh-huh. But any bruise on a piece of fruit in the new of the moon, it will rot.
Isn't that something?
And he didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
So he said this year, what few they had, apples they had that he wanted to try to pick and save, that he'd remember that.
On
and
the
pick
old
in the old moon.
Mm-hmm.
And dig his potatoes in the old moon.
Uh-huh.
And they wouldn't rot like they would in the new moon.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, well, I just happened to see it, and I didn't know whether you knew it or not. He said, you know, I've always been doing mine wrong. Just the opposite. And he said they always rotted.
Of all things.
But these few that were on this, it was a right young tree. They were nice. And they weren't buggy. I mean,
did he at one time have a lot of trees?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And all those that used to be up around the house where we lived, he said the trees are beginning to die. The brush is just growing up around them so that they don't get any air.
Mm-hmm.
Will you tell me something? Do rocks grow?
Especially right out in the pasture, yeah.
Grandpa had talked about, you know, if you didn't go back on the hill, you don't know what he means by flats.
No.
He said the third flat back was the top of the hill. You go back a flat, and then you go up more steep, and then there's another flat.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, I missed it, not getting up there.
You missed the flats.
Yeah.
But he said at one time they gathered rocks. They just gathered and gathered and gathered to clear up the fields, you know, because they used to have cornfields, and they planted in winter crops, and you know, to make hay, but you had to go straight up the hill to get there, and then you could, you had a, so much land that you could to work up, you know.
That's right.
Mhm. And they used to have tomatoes, be a field of tomatoes, back on the hills, on these flats. But anyway, back on top, next to the top of the hill, this last flat, above the pond, the pond's on the second flat, and it's the next flat back. I have never seen as many rocks. And Grandpa and I were talking about the rocks, you know. Did you meet Wimpy? The man they call Wimpy Hughes? He's a dilly. He's a poor fella. He can't talk plain. He's retarded to a certain extent. But he can't talk plain. And my grandpa said he was talking to him one time about the rocks. And Wimpy said, they go. That's what they do. They just grow.
Yeah.
Grow. But I have never, and I came back off the hill the first time, and I told Grandpa, I said, Grandpa, I believe, I agree with Wimpy. They grow. I have never seen as many rocks. Right out in the middle of where the cows, the cattle graze.
Yeah.
Just rocks every place you look.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. I said, I just believe, I'll agree with Wimpy, they grow.
Well, let me tell you, you don't have to go in the mountains for that. I went over here at old Everett Smith next door there, and he had those fine mixed cattle, and he had that beautiful country out there, and with fine bay of pasture on it, you know. And you know what he had to do? He had to go over every now and then and pick up the rocks. And he had a whole pile. He had great piles of those rocks that he'd picked up. And there wasn't any before.
Mm-hmm.
He got them, and then here come another crop.
I told him, Grandpa, I don't believe the soil could wash away that much. Not in it as well seeded as it is with grass and, you know, everything. There's pretty grass back there on top of them at flats, better than what we have in the yard.
Is that right?
I just noticed the sod.
Mm-hmm.
Could be red clay. Of course, red clay, they say, grows good things. But
yeah.
It just looked like grass you'd have in the yard. Of course, cattle keep it cut off close, so you could really tell, you know.
Yeah.
But it was pretty. But all those rocks, you couldn't possibly cut hay. Not an
no.
as rocky as it. And then you'd see a pile where he'd pile them in the past. He'd pile them around a tree, you know. You'd have a whole. And I noticed, I was thinking I found a, I used to know where, I imagine I could still find it. Hazelnut trees were. But what Grandma thought was a hazelnut, I didn't think it was. He said it was a thorn.
Yeah.
Big old tree. They have berries. Just, it reminds you of.
I haven't seen hazelnuts in so long.
I know where this one tree up in the Hawthorne, where we used to live.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's still up there, but I doubt if I can get to it.
There ought to be a little colony, oughtn't there?
Uh-huh. Maybe by now. But I imagine it'd be so grown up that, you know.
I tell you, they put in, they got more cattle now than they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And the cattle cleared all out. You don't have any of that stuff where cattle are.
I know. I went to the top of the hill, and it was just, you know, the cattle had cleared, the grass was cut so short and everything. And just across the fence on the other man's land, that's where I found all the dogwood trees
mm-hmm.
and all the little, it was just loaded.
You take down here, they're all taken out except one. Cypress tree. And I have seen down there the little sprouts coming up and the little knots, knees. And I said, well, so I'm going to put a fence around these. But you see, I never did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, I haven't had the cattle on this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
I bet they're coming up again.
Oh, there's those things are this high.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just all around the place. So you see why I don't have the cypress trees.
Mm-hmm. That's expensive.
Now they won't
too.
Go in there and eat those cypress sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
What they do, probably.
Just clump them down.
They just pass by there and see it and take a bite and see what it's like and then go on.
Mm-hmm.
But you see it was 25, 30, 40, 50 cows.
Mm-hmm. You can soon nip off a field of things. But I know across this, like I said, that's where I found the surveyed land. I'm sure that surveyors had been through there to put those ribbons up like they did. But you found, I could find everything. I found some, and I didn't pull them up and everything because I couldn't get across the barbed wire. But I found some pretty things that you buy in, it looked like, that you buy in a greenhouse down here. That's odd, but it's true. The flowers that we buy in the greenhouse grow wild up there. Mm-hmm. And what grows wild down here, they buy in the greenhouse up there. But it's true.
Yeah, I guess
it is
right.
True. You know the lacy fern,
mm-hmm,
that grows wild down here?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things you buy up there and has to just doctor it and work with it and baby it to get it to grow. But they grow wild down here. But I found some cool things back there that I knew that were growing wild,
mm-hmm,
that we would buy as down here and work with and doctor to get it to grow.
You know, when I was up there with Leo, the odds were all against me. For one thing, I didn't have my typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, Burl Cook,
yeah,
he talked me down. But now, if I'd had that old typewriter there, and after we talked a little while, I could have gone off in the
mm-hmm
other room and just...
You remembered enough to set it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing. I remember in general, you see, so much of the things, I could almost repeat some of the stories you told.
Mm-hmm.
One of the finest was that horse trading with a man down the next to him that had this old horse, and he'd throw a shoe, and he'd have to just stop work and plowing and take his horses out and on the edge of Mercy and
mm-hmm
go over there. And he told him one day that that was just the end,
mm-hmm,
that he just couldn't afford to do anything like that. He's gonna have to get rid of that old horse that's rode a shoe. Now you see,
mm-hmm,
I can't put his words in it because it's we talk so much it pushed it out.
Uh-huh.
But the whole I don't remember the key passages either,
uh-huh,
in it. But it was rich. I'm telling you, it was a whole thing. He just had the whole thing of that. Of course, he's told it.
Oh yeah.
Six dozen times. And
yeah,
there's nothing strange about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's rich.
I was just trying to think. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, I'd just give anything if I could just turn it on and listen to that about twice a day.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you'd love to hear.
Oh, he can. And so many things he doesn't forget.
And some of the little things like that where it's really a whole straight, fine story, I could take along on them little, you know, them little old portable
mm-hmm
tape recorders.
Tape recorders, remember. Uh-huh.
He may have one himself up there.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
he may have, I don't know.
Wouldn't it be wonderful for the grandchildren to hear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, what the grandchildren, all of the grandchildren are just like when it comes to Grandpa, riding with Grandpa. Sammy, that's Alberta's youngest, went to the market with him. They took some of his granddaddy Ashley's cattle. And Sammy went along, and coming back, he said, "Grandpa, get to be talking real big," and almost stopped driving. That's the way he is. The faster he talks, the slower he gets. I know I rode with him enough. I know that. And at the time, they passed so many trailers. And, of course, Grandpa's interested in all types of trailers. They're trying to find, you know, the one that suits him. He said, "We'd almost have to stop and see what make it was." They'd go at such a speed, he said, "I believe I could have run in and found out the name of it and come back and still caught him."
You're slow train.
Oh, I'm telling you. And he says, "Grandpa will get on the hard road and he'll go 35. But put him on them old dirt roads and they'll go 55 and 60. And the girls said the same thing.
Yeah.
They said they went over to the store with him.
Yeah.
And he'd just fly over the dirt roads. But when he'd get to the highway, 35. I don't believe he'd ever make it to town to go any distance. I don't think he'd ever make it. But that they told that they thought that was so funny. They talked about Sammy telling about the grandpa. He talks with his speed of his conversation gets real heavy. We slow down, and then he doesn't have much to say. He'll speed up.
That would be something to go to the market with him.
Oh my yes.
That would be something. Because he'd tell you, sit there and tell you everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he didn't do it then, he'd tell you when you got home.
Yeah, he'd tell you something about it now, I tell you. Yeah, but Sammy thought that was so funny. I know Sammy said, he always asked me if I want anything to eat.
Oh.
If I'm hungry. And he says, naturally, I tell him I am. And says, you'll get me anything I want. He thought that was something. Grandpa would get him anything he wants.
Yeah.
Even a soft drink. And he says, now, Grandpa doesn't buy many soft drinks. But if I want it, he'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that was something. No, that's not. They have so much milk and, you know, buttermilk and sweet milk and all, but he doesn't see any use in tea. They don't even make tea or seldom make tea. Every meal is either one kind of milk or the other.
Yeah.
When they have, you know, they just don't think about it. Oh, Kool-Aid. Now, Grandpa likes his Kool-Aid.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yes. He keeps a pitcher of Kool-Aid. He tries to keep enough Kool-Aid on hand. That's between meals. He keeps the Kool-Aid. Oh, yes. Grandma said he has to have that. So he's like, says we don't worry about having Kool-Aid just for the grandchildren because he keeps it. And that's another thing. He goes to the store. She seldom ever goes to the store. Now, down here, most of the women go and the men don't.
Yeah.
You know, but he always goes to the store.
You know, I've run across a few men who do all the buying, and it always strikes me as such a remarkable thing.
When I back home, Leo did most all the grocery buying.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seldom I'd ever go to the store.
Mr. Dodd over here. Now, they've got a family that eats.
Mm-hmm.
And he buys all the stuff, and if he misses something, they just do it out, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
She never goes.
But Grandpa does all the
well, you know, as I think of it, I know a number of people in town, even in town, men do all the shopping. I hadn't thought about that.
But I imagine it's just what they were used to doing, you know, certain areas where they come from, that's the way they did.
Huh.
I just imagine.
Isn't it?
But he does. It's seldom she ever goes to the store. Even if she's with him, he'll get out and go in the store and get what they... She doesn't go into it. It's just one of those things that they've done all these years. And... But he's just as devoted to her.
Yeah.
Babies her, and he tries to. He told me, he said, "Now I just try to do this as good as I can." Yeah.
I wished I could have been up there when he was making hay. That's what I wanted to do.
I tell you, he can.
But it was. Well, they had that arrangement with the tractor, you
uh-huh.
see.
Yes, that's, and the Ashleys, now, see, they own half, Junior owns half interest in the farm equipment, and he's going to try to sell it all to Junior.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for Junior just to buy it all, the whole thing out. He has half, and Junior has half, and Junior's dad is going to get it right when he wants it or else.
Yeah.
And that leaves Grandpa just dragging in last.
Yeah.
He's always last. And so it makes it hard. You can't never do anything when it really needs to be done or when he wants to do it, unless they're through till he can. I wouldn't have that agreement for love nor money.
No, that seldom works out.
Well, there's a lot of, he just put up with a whole lot that he could have you know, by doing that. So he says that that's one of the things that Junior is going to try to buy out his half of the equipment as far as the heavy equipment is concerned. And because if he moves over there, Larry has a tractor, and Lawrence lives over in that area too, and he has a tractor. And he won't be doing that much farming, I don't expect,
no,
anyway.
No.
So
he can sort of take a hand in that farming,
mm-hmm,
I'd think, and not have to worry about himself.
He won't need it and all. So he just might as well, if he can, you know. I mean, if Junior would go ahead and take it that way. Of course, the other fellow moves in, the other fellow can have to be the one to have his own equipment too.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I just hope that they can. Since Grandma wants to move so in such a way that her nerves are all on edge a lot of times and all, that they can hurry it up and get moved. I don't know.
Well, I wanted to get over and see your family, and I didn't even have a chance to get over there.
Well, it takes, the way they have Charleston cut up now, it takes hours to get down there.
Really?
You just don't go in the middle length of time.
And you have to get through Charleston.
And they're putting so many interstates through.
Yeah.
77, 76, and 69, and I don't know if there's any more or not. They have Charleston so cut up, I don't know anything. I didn't know where I was at half, you know. You just, it is, they're tearing up everything. What used to be the Hill Street, we used to cut across, and go toward the hill, you know, go around. You can kind of bypass through part of Charleston. That's all going to be interstate. They've had so many houses have been sold and torn out. But there's 76 and 77, 79. There's a 64 comes in, too. Of course, they're building a lot of those over bridges, I call them. I don't know what the correct name. And so much of that, well, one interstate will go over and the other will go under, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's something. And of course, they're crossing the river, Kanawha River, was part of that too.
Yeah.
So it's really something. I don't even know whether I could find.
Yeah.
I know Grandma says when they go down to the doctor, they have a hard time even finding his office anymore. They have to go so many roundabout ways, you know, until. It's so confusing, and he hates town anyway. He never did like to drive in town,
yeah,
to start with much,
yeah,
and especially,
yeah,
when it's so cut up.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I wanted to see Sarah while she was up there. She was up there a good while, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what they'll do. They hadn't found anyone. This one lady was supposed to. Daddy was supposed to contact her again. Her daughter was in the hospital, and she was spending quite a bit of time at the hospital. But they can't go back to the farm like it is. They cannot take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And they have to have someone that will be with them all the time, as you know, if they're out in the country, and someone that can drive.
Yeah.
Because they can't drive. Daddy can't drive. Someone can get in and out.
Well, how's he doing?
Neither one of them doing any good.
He's not in good shape as he was when he was left.
No,
out his
mother isn't either. She's just gotten to the place she doesn't want to eat. And you talk to her and tell her how you know, the value of the food and what good it will do, and she'll go ahead. But she just as soon leave it alone. And that isn't good, because it takes so much for her to get up and go.
Yeah.
So much more than what you would really think. Now, Bill thinks she should stay on a diet constantly. but she doesn't get enough food value. On a strict diet, it weakens her to get up and down, because it takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot out of a person when they're in that condition.
Now she's living close to Bill.
She's closer, yes. They live in town. It's all they need.
Mm-hmm.
But neither one of them call it home. They say they're visiting.
Oh.
They're just visiting. That was just their expression. They're just visiting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they have a little place?
They have a little house about 10 or 15 blocks from Bill.
Yeah.
And it's just a little narrow plot of ground. And they have a house and a garage and just a little front yard and a little backyard.
Yeah.
And just a little strip on each side, which is all, and Bill cuts it, so, you know. And they have some lovely roses, and they're all monthly roses, so they're blooming constantly. And then a little flower garden in the back, where if Daddy wanted to piddle, he could put tomatoes out there if he thought he had to have a garden of some sort. But Mother hasn't even been on the porch. She stays in the house.
Now, is that where
that's where they live now.
Where they were when Sarah was there?
They finally built, and Bill, part of the furniture was in the house, and then they brought some more down from up home. And they never did have any porch furniture. And Bill finally consented to bring one chair. So Daddy goes out on the porch once in a while, but that's all.
Yeah.
Mother can't, there's nothing for Mother to sit in. She could at least see the people walk by. Or the cars drive by. It's a very quiet street. There's not too much going on.
Yeah.
But it would be a little bit more than just four walls.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It's a little, let's see, there's three living room, dining room, and a bedroom's on this side of the house. And Sarah's room, and then there's a little hallway and a bathroom, and then a little hall goes on into the kitchen, and a utility room of what used to have, a washer and dryer. At least I could see where a washer and dryer had been. And Bill does, they do the washing over there. So it's just a little utility room. And a back door. And just a little stoop and some steps.
Well, that's all they need.
That's all they need.
Well,
of course, Mother can't get in the bathroom at all. Now, she could get into the basin or the lavatory, but she couldn't get, the commode is behind the door.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't get in there at all. But, it's all they need, and it's really more than they can take care of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite see where you put your family when you visit up there.
I can't. They're they have a, I don't know the brand name or anything. They have a couch that makes a bed,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know how in the world you make a bed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no space. It's a nice little fire. It has a little fireplace with a gas log. I don't know if it's logs or stoves sit back in. You know, very. It's nice. And Daddy had they bought the couch that was in the house, but Daddy brought a chair down from my home, and he bought a platform
mm-hmm.
chair for himself, because that's what he needed. And it's a real nice one. It makes it flattens out and makes a bed where he can relax in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
All those things are hot though.
Mm-hmm.
That plastic type of, you know, leather type material. But, and they bought the dining room furniture. It was in the house, so they didn't bring down anything from up there. I think about all they brought was a few dishes and cookers
mm-hmm.
and Sarah's bed. I think their bed and all was already there from an elderly lady that lived in the house, and just a small, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were lucky
to find it.
Yeah.
And I thought that Bill talked as if it was a piece of property that he had and was using it for rental purposes. But one of the girls said they understood Daddy to say he had bought it with what furniture he got with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I didn't ask him. He was upset, and he gets so nervous, you know, and all, and that I thought the least said, you know. I didn't say anything. I didn't ask any questions, and I just didn't say anything because Mother. No, I was upset enough with Mother. You know, she wasn't as didn't seem as well as she had been. You know, and that bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Daddy stays stirred up. And Bill, I know Bill had gotten to the point, he says, if you have any idea, any suggestions, I'm willing to listen. Mm-hmm. He's got to the point that he didn't know what to do.
Now, is Bill the dentist?
Uh-huh. He has a farm. He has a garden up to the farm, up to the house. It's just so much acreage. It's not a farm. It's just an acreage with some with a house. But it has a real nice garden plot. And he goes up there. And of course, I can see with no one in the house, he can stay as long as he needs to on a Wednesday. He's closed Wednesday afternoon. He always goes up, and sometimes it's 1 o'clock in the morning before he gets home. He goes ahead and cans, you know, while he's there. Oh, goodness. 50, 60 miles.
Was that Laura Farm?
And that's equal to, you could go 200 miles down here to what you'd go.
That's right, because.
The distance and the hills and crooked roads and narrow roads. He has quite a bit of narrow roads.
Yeah.
So it's Bill that goes up to
uh-huh.
the home place.
Mm-hmm. And he'll take some of the boys with him. And they'll, whatever they pick or gather, they can it before they come home.
Oh, really?
They can it up there, usually. Unless it's pickles or like they make 14-day pickles, you know, and they have to change and everything. They'll bring them home to do that. But most of the things that can be canned right then, they go ahead and work it up before they come back. But,
well, then that's not too far from the cooks where you're.
Well, it isn't about 18 miles, but you'd think it was 50.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
You have to. Considering the dirt roads and I'm scared to death the roads over home. They didn't used
oh,
to be
mean
that way.
You go from Grandpa Cook?
Mm-hmm.
It's only 18
about
miles.
18 miles, but it takes you a good hour. A good hour to get over there.
Yeah.
The roads are so narrow, and they blacktopped part of them. The little narrow road winds up around the hill, and if you go over the hill, you just keep it going and going and going and going. Right down over a railroad track into the river, and you know and then you go out around once you get to the top of the hill, you go out around a road for a piece, and then you follow the creek back down, and that's all dirt road, and it's narrow. If you meet a car, you had to back and back and back and back to find a wide spot to pass,
mm-hmm.
or either they back one or the other, whichever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 3 miles of that,
uh-huh.
3 miles of the dirt road.
Nice.
So it takes a while to get in. And so I didn't go over there at all. And I told Daddy, I asked him, and of course I don't even know what their arrangements are. It's none of my business. I just told Daddy, why don't you sell it?
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to go home.
Yeah.
Daddy says, that's home. Says, we're just visiting here.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Right, it's
mm-hmm.
like Grandpa Cook.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid they won't be satisfied either, but I wouldn't say anything.
What do you call Grandpa Cook?
Grandpa Cook.
When you talk to him?
Yeah, Grandpa.
Grandpa?
Yeah. Everybody's Grandpa. Most of the time it's Mom, but it would be, if the children are, it's Grandma. Just depends on, you know. But it's always Grandpa with him.
I got it that people call him Cook, and they call him Burl.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't particularly care about saying Burl. He called me Guy right off.
Mm-hmm.
So I started calling him Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was nice.
Yeah. I know Uncle Cluster that lived in Gainesville.
I called him Grandpa.
Cook.
He called me Great Grandpa or something like that.
No, I call him Grandpa. Just have it with the children. But now, Bill's children call Daddy Grandfather.
Oh, they do.
Grandmother and grandfather, and that just chills me all the way to the bone.
Yeah.
Ooh, that hurts. I don't know. I just can't stand it. Because when we were growing up, mother's mother was always grandma.
Yeah.
And of course, I never knew my grandfather. I never knew my grandma and my grandpa on mother on daddy's side at all.
Yeah.
My grandma died and was buried. She died the day before my birthday, and she wasn't embalmed. That was her request. She's buried on my birthday, when the day I was a year old.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, I don't remember her.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Grandpa had been dead for years. And I never knew them. And I always knew Grandma. And it was always Grandma. But now, if Grandma and Grandpa Cook do move out this piece of land. They get moved and everything. Mother's cousins live out in there. Some of her people. I have forgotten. I used to visit them years ago when I was a little girl. Aunt Jo's mother's, well, Grandma Lawson's sister lived out there in Jackson County. And Aunt Omi and Uncle Mac would come from Pittsburgh, and they always visited out in the country, you know. And they always went out there to visit. And the cousins are growing up. I grew up with some of them, but I've even forgotten their names. And I told Grandma, I said, now they live in that area. I'd have to find them.
But now they're close to there.
It's next door. It's an adjoining piece of property to Larry.
Well, that would be in his favor that they would be close.
Close
they
to
were close to their daughter where they are. Well, no.
Well, she doesn't live there.
I see.
They live in Clendenin, but his mother and dad, and they aren't. They just don't visit. Well, it all started. Grandpa says it all started when Andra was the baby. When she left home and married. I mean, when she married, she told her grandma then that says now that I'm the baby and I'm the last one to leave home. You should find you a smaller place, you know, and gave her the, and it's been that way ever since. She's just been, it's been in the back of her mind, and she gets bringing it out every once in a while, you know.
Well, Helen, as marvelous as it is to have all your family come every Sunday, it's still hard work when you have to do the cooking.
It is. Mm-hmm. Now, they try to help and all, you know,
uh-huh.
But it still works.
I know she enjoys it, but
mm-hmm.
enjoys seeing everybody, but she could
mm-hmm.
be just tired.
Yeah. And see, since she's had these nerves cut in her face, she's had a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble with her ears, and that's affected her nerves, her nervous system. Has been upset.
Mm-hmm.
And she just had a lot of problems with that. And I think, too, it kind of runs in her family. They're a nervous type. And as they grow older, it bothers them. I know she has a brother that's in real bad condition now. And her mother's mind went bad. And Grandpa's afraid that's what'll happen. That's what he's afraid of. I know it is. But,
well, isn't that marvelous, though, that Becky and Alice helped him pay?
Oh, yes, they...
Seventy-seven, Helen, goes north and south,
mm-hmm.
and 64 goes east and west.
Mm-hmm. There's a 79 someplace. I don't know where.
Yeah. 77. Well, that's all the numbers I can.
Well, it's
I can find.
I know you take. I know 64. Is not too far from Mother, where they are. Do you find St. Albans?
No. What is it close to?
It's south of Charleston.
South.
Just
yeah,
a little. St. Albans. Now that's where they live.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. Of course, with all the interstates, I don't imagine will show on the map right now because they aren't completed. Part of 77, and it isn't completed either.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of the one that's...
St. Albans is on 60.
Yes. Uh-huh. 60 goes into Huntington.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does 60 keep on going?
I don't know.
East?
I don't know.
Yeah, it keeps on going.
But they do have a number of... And, you know, just out in the wide open spaces, they tear up an awfully lot just
yeah.
to build one of those bridges. You can imagine right in town what it's
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
All the streets are messed up, and a lot of houses have been torn down, and a lot of sections that used to be a familiar section. It's just plain, no houses or anything now. It gets you mixed up.
Yeah. Well, now.
And Charleston is, oh, it's a busy place. Ooh, it's a busy place.
Yeah, all the roads come to Charleston.
Mm-hmm. And see, out in South Charleston now, just across the river, just as you leave Charleston, is a big chemical plant.
Oh.
Carbide.
Yeah. Well, that'll complicate things.
Oh, 4:30 when they let out. Traffic is something else. Because of them. I don't know. I just don't know the number employed there.
Yeah.
Part of that is even out on an island. Part of the chemical plant.
Uh-huh.
It's on both sides of the road. Both sides of the street that goes down through there.
Yeah.
Well, so it's quite complicated. And it's, when the traffic, if you want to get in and out of town, you go in after they go to work and before they come home, or wait till they all get gone.
Well, Helen, West Virginia's building up.
Mm-hmm.
So if any time you want to go back up there, you can get a job.
Yeah, if you can find a place to live where you have to drive for miles.
Yeah.
But you know, the people that work in Carbide, some of them drive 30 and 40 miles one way.
How far does Larry drive?
I don't know. From where they live now, I don't know how far it is. But Junior works at Carbide.
Yeah.
And he has to, although it's just maybe 25 miles, he has to start way early up because of the traffic, you know, to get through.
Yeah.
I know this friend of, well, that's some of the relatives, too. Her husband works, and he lives up in the country.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's working shift work, and he was on midnight, and he was going to leave to get there by midnight. He was going to leave home at 10:30.
And it takes you 20 minutes to get to work.
Mm-hmm. See, it's just that much. And you consider the number of people and the distance that they all drive, the traffic is just tremendous when they turn out.
Yeah.
And now they have some of their office buildings are on the left of the highway, as well as the plant, you know, part on the right. And there's traffic in every direction. And to top it all, they're putting all these interstates in, and everything's so messed up.
Yeah.
And still all that same traffic.
Yeah.
You have that traffic to contend with just the same. It's something.
Well, maybe in time, the interstates will reduce
oh, yes.
the, simplify,
mm-hmm. It will.
Make it more manageable. But it'll be
will.
A long time, won't it? Here's
yes, because winter, you know, is coming on, and a lot of those things can't be completed in freezing weather.
You hear that
fellow
out there?
Uh-huh.
I see
that. There it is, uh-huh.
I'm talking about the mockingbird singing.
Yeah, I hear that, but I'm watching the Cardinal eat.
Yeah.
He hasn't stopped since Helen got here.
Uh-uh.
I don't think.
I see he's got so for the last 3 years, the third year in a row. They used to nest right here, but they got so they nest around with the neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Come back to visit.
They come back in time for these pokeberries. See,
mm-hmm.
I got all these pokeberries, and nobody
mm-hmm.
else has got them.
I'll have to get out and look around. We have some pokeberries this year. See what I can find.
Well, what I found is pokeberries is like a number of other things, and I didn't realize that. But you just leave them, and next year they'll come back from the same stalk and be a lot bigger. Just leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the poinsettias are like that.
Uh-huh.
And these hot peppers are like that. There's a whole lot of things
mm-hmm.
that are like that.
Oh, not changing the subject, but Grandpa didn't dig any sweet potatoes while you were up there, did he? Does he remember?
I think we had sweet potatoes.
Did you? Well, she may have had canned sweet potatoes. She cans a lot of sweet potatoes. But he went out in the garden and gathered some of their new sweet potatoes. And they were almost as white as that milk carton. They were the light. The light is this.
Oh.
Light, and big around as you almost, well, as big as round as that much of my arm. Great big. Long one. And one was that long. I said, if all his sweet potatoes were like that, he'd have a pile of sweet potatoes this year.
Now, we didn't have any where we'd peel them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were canned.
Uh-huh.
But we had some.
I know what new ones we cook. We cooked them with the peeling on them.
Yeah.
We cooked them. And I know I had to split. I just split them, left, just washed them good, and split them because it's too big, couldn't get them in a cooker.
Yeah.
I said they never would cook whole, as big as round as they were. So I split them to, in order to get them in the cooker, get them all in one cooker. Now, there were some smaller ones, you know, but they, oh, they were old, and they were good. They were so pretty, though.
Yeah.
But they were just about the color of that cup.
Yeah.
Just about. Of course, it's the kind they are. So I was telling him about my few strays that came up again this year from last fall.
Yeah.
That I didn't dig, you know, I just left in the ground because I knew they didn't make anything. He said, just leave them alone. And wait till later and dig them and see if, you know, when the vines begin to die down.
Uh-huh.
They're like his.
Well, how were his? You said, did you say?
They were good.
They were good.
Uh-huh.
Now, did he cook them or bake them?
We cooked them. And what she does, she cooks them. And she takes them out and puts them in bacon grease and fries them.
What?
Is that right?
She cooks them and then
browns them in bacon grease.
Isn't that nice?
Because I brown them, I know. Uh-huh. That's the way they were cooked. And then if you want sugar on them, you can put sugar on them, but they didn't need it. They were sweet enough without.
Oh, Lord, no.
Mm-hmm. That's the way she picks them. And they were so good. I mean, she, and you're so, you know, that's when the peeling is so tender. I just ate the peeling and all.
Is that right? Yeah.
I do. But I noticed she didn't. She'd peel what mostly what she ate.
Yeah.
But I ate the peeling and all.
Mm-hmm.
And tomatoes, oh, I
now
just,
that's what
I want you to know some of her tomatoes were that big around.
Bigger.
Yellow with red streaks to them.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, they were pretty. And all you needed was a plate of tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Can she save seed?
Oh, yeah. She saves all of her seed. Yeah, she saves her seed.
Because I know if you don't save seed on something like tomatoes and you try to buy the same ones at the store,
you don't
know what you get.
But these were...
And furthermore, the people who put them up in the packages don't know what's in them half the
time. She had some big red ones, but these yellow ones, she had, a number of those. They were almost orange. They were so deep, but they had red streaks through them. And they were just...
Now, who
tends
the garden?
She did most of it.
That's marvelous.
He worked more this year than he ever has. Than has ever been known. Because the garden was always her department.
Yeah.
And this is the first year, she said, he's ever worked much in the garden.
Uh-huh.
But I had to laugh at their field corn. I mean, at their sugar corn. Doris came over, Larry's wife, and Grandpa went and bought it. He said he bought it. And it was supposed to be a certain kind of corn. And if that isn't field corn, I know it's field corn. I called it field corn. And everyone that looked at it called it field corn were Grandpa. He said he bought it for certain kind of sugar corn.
Yeah.
It was as tall as the your curtains.
Oh.
And just beginning to ear.